So what you see in our project is that it's a gold-rich porphyry system, and specifically, it's those gold credits that make this high grade. The other point to note is that we have mineralization from surface at Pirquinas Central, which is one of our two porphyry discoveries. And that is evident from a drill hole which intersected 150 odd meters from 3 meters at 0.3 copper, 0.6 gold. So our view was 1 + 1 = 3 in terms of our ability to move between one jurisdiction and another. And I think the response from shareholders and the market has validated that thesis.
And then the Montal project, that's in Chile, it's copper
Yes.
gold. And so it's, I guess, it's close to, you said, Maimacop copper. Why is that significant? And what's the timeline and key milestones for this project?
So Mantau is a, when I say a pipeline project, Cobrasco and Pirquinas have been drilled, and they are our two shared flagship projects. Mantau is a pipeline opportunity which is undrilled.
Good day. Today we have with me Joe Van Den Elsen, President and CEO of Andina Copper. How are you, Joe?
I'm good, and thanks for having me today.
Well, before we start, Joe, if you can, for our listeners, share where we can find you online. Where are you trading?
Sure. So Andina Copper, as of last week, is traded on the Toronto, the Venture Exchange. We also have a secondary listing on the OTC, the OTC QB board.
Well, Joe, if you can tell us all about Andina Copper. I know that you recently rebranded from Pampa Metals. What's the story behind that, and how does it reflect the company's evolution?
Sure. So Pampa Metals started its life back in 2022, focused on a early stage portfolio of porphyry exploration targets in northern Chile. I got involved in the company about 3 years ago, so late 2022, and set about trying to refine the strategy, the portfolio, and also the board management and capital structure. So in early 2023, we drilled a project, Block 4 in northern Chile, and didn't have much luck there, and quickly pivoted and refined the business model to one that was focused on identifying and securing porphyry projects that had been discovered. So projects that have got a history of ore grade intercepts, but have had little or no follow-up exploration for any number of reasons. So the idea was to focus on South American porphyry belt specifically, an area where we as a group felt that we had a competitive advantage. And late in 2023, we acquired the Pirquinas project in San Juan, which is a copper gold porphyry project. A couple of thousand meters had been drilled historically. It had been privately held until our transaction, and it perfectly fit our thesis. So that's a project that is surrounded by major globally significant development and operating assets. Wonderful project. The challenge we had there is that you can only drill 6 months a year on account of the elevation, which is 3,800 meters above sea level. And it's difficult to maintain investor interest for 12 months of the year when you've only got results for six. So we were always looking for a complementary second project, something that was on the porphyry belt in South America, ore grade intercepts that you could work year round to try and create a more exciting pipeline of news flow over a 12-month period. Rugby Resources, we completed the acquisition, and specifically the focus there was the Cobrasco project in Colombia. And we're back there drilling now. So the evolution of Andina Copper has been one from Fairly early stage prospect generator model. Since I joined, we've evolved and we're now focused on post-discovery and looking and building out these projects.
Joe, I want to start with the Pehuquinas. That's in San Juan, Argentina, and I think it's a copper gold. If you can talk about Pehuquinas, I
Sure.
hope I'm saying that right. And my understanding, it's a mining friendly jurisdiction with high grade copper gold. And how high are we talking? And if you can tell me about the jurisdiction a bit.
So Argentina is a jurisdiction and economy that goes in and out of vogue every 5 to 10 years. And it has re-entered vogue since Milei was appointed at the end of 2023. So Argentina as a whole is receiving a lot of foreign investment at the moment on account of this reformist political agenda. And within Argentina, you have, I think, two principal mining-friendly provinces, one of which is San Juan. So San Juan is a sleepy province located proximate to the border with Chile, and it has a globally significant gold mine. We were talking 500,000 ounce annual production and a number of globally significant development copper projects, including Glencore's El Pachón project, McEwen Mining's Los Azules project, our immediate neighbor ELTA, which is owned by Aldebaran Resources. Not to mention, of course, the projects in the north, which include the Lundin family, BHP, and their shared interests. So San Juan is a very, very easy jurisdiction from a exploration standpoint. And our project specifically has had all the permits since the 90s, meaning when we walked in, we were drilling within a month.
Wow. So you said it goes in and out of vogue. Is there what kind of risk goes with that? And have you run into any obstacles? And do you anticipate possible obstacles you might have to face in the future?
No, I think San Juan is and always has been a pro-mining jurisdiction. So at a local level, things are solid. Argentina has suffered from hyperinflation over the years and leftist political agendas, which mean you have a porphyry belt where there's major mines on the Chilean side of the belt and nothing on the Argentine side. So I don't sort of foresee this as I wouldn't call it a sovereign risk issue. It's simply a case of there are windows of opportunity in Argentina to go in, advance projects and monetize, which is certainly our strategy and our approach here.
Can you tell us about the grade? You said it's high grade copper gold. I mean, how high are we talking about?
So for comparative purposes, our immediate neighbor is ELTA. ELTA is the flagship asset of Aldebaran Resources. Aldebaran's a, I think it's about a 700 million Canadian issuer. South32 is their biggest shareholder, sorry, their second biggest shareholder. And they have 2.4 billion tonnes at 0.42 copper, 0.07 gold. Now, a portion of that, a relatively small portion of that, is amenable to open pit mining, and the balance is quite deep. Our project includes, we're pre-resource. Our project includes drill holes of 400 meters at 0.47 copper, 0.52 gold, 800 meters at 0.4 copper, 0.51 gold, and high grade zones of 500 meters at 0.73 copper, 0.53 copper, 0.73 gold. So what you see in our project is that it's a gold-rich porphyry system. And specifically, it's those gold credits that make this high grade. The other point to note is that we have mineralization from surface at Pehuquinas Central, which is one of our two porphyry discoveries. And that is evident from a drill hole which intersected 150 odd meters from 3 meters at 0.3 copper, 0.6 gold.
So my understanding is that you guys are fully permitted for exploration drilling. Curious as to what's been done so far, what's next, and then if you can tell us about the joint venture agreement for the 80% interest back in November 2023, what's the significance of that structure?
So we, when we inherited the property or took on the operatorship of the project, it had had about 2,000 meters drilled until that point in time. We've drilled about 7,000 meters since then. The field season here runs from about the 1st of November to the end of April, and that's a function of the altitude. We're at 3,800 meters above sea level. This season, which is already underway, we're doing some further mapping, three sets of geophysics, and we'll start drilling again in the first week of January and likely do another 3,000 to 4,000 meters this season. The commercial agreement, the option agreement you referred to there, we acquired a 4-year option on the 30th of November 2023, so we're 2 years into that. And it's to acquire a 80% interest for $14.75, of which we can pay 2.5 in scrip, in stock. So the idea and the premise behind the transaction was we wanted to give ourselves 4 years, a good period of time to aggressively explore the property to determine its true value before outlaying capital, whether it's shares or cash, and taking on the property. So we're 2 years in, and I think if you look at a number of factors, the results we've had, the share price improvement, our current market capitalization, and the general interest and corporate activity in San Juan, it's obviously been a successful transaction to date.
Joe, speaking of transactions, I believe in July of this year, earlier, you guys had an acquisition of the Rugby Resources, adding two new projects. What was the thinking behind that deal, and what value does it bring to Andina?
So one of the obstacles that and I flagged this before was in Pirquenes, in San Juan, we can work 6 months a year, and we've got to keep investors interested for 12 months. So we were always looking for a second project where we could work year round, but preserve the narrative that we are on the same porphyry belt or South American porphyry belt. We are drilling things that have already got ore grade intercepts. So the Rugby Resources acquisition delivered the Cabrasco project, which is a porphyry project along the Colombian Choco Belt. A number of significant projects exist on that belt, with interest from Rio Tinto, Glencore, First Quantum, Teck, amongst others. So this was a project on that belt. It had had 2,000 meters drilling, which is ostensibly the same amount that we had at Pirquenes. And unlike the Pirquenes project, the key selling point here, I think, is more the shallowness of the mineralization and the fact that you had porphyry mineralization from surface. So this is potentially a very, very large prize. Copper moly as opposed to copper gold in Argentina and from surface. So potentially surface mineable porphyries of size and scale in Colombia. So our view was 1 + 1 = 3 in terms of our ability to move between one jurisdiction and another. And I think the response from shareholders and the market has validated that thesis.
So, what excites you most about Cabrasco? Where are you with permitting, and when do you expect to drill?
We are drilling,
You're
so
drilling.
we've there was a hole that was stopped at 300 meters back in November or December of 2022 by Rugby when they ran out of money. So we've re-entered that same hole. So we've simply gone down the historical casing, re-entered the hole at 300 meters, and we're still drilling today at about 750 odd meters deep. So we're active there. We've also been doing quite a lot of field mapping, Identifying or advancing some of these other undrilled targets, but we're active now there.
So I've read on your website that it sits on one of the last untested district scale porphyry systems. What does that mean in terms of risk and upside? When I hear untested, I hear risk. Maybe you hear upside, but then you also tell me all these other companies are there. They're excited. So they see something. So what do you see?
So, I mean, when we talk about untested, like one of the challenges here is that we've always tried to differentiate ourselves from a greenfield explorer. So we're drilling projects that have already been drilled and have already got grade. So I think untested is really saying you don't have proven resources. Nobody knows how big they are, but we know there's porphyry there, and we know that there's grade, and we know it's from surface. So I think the exciting thing here is that we're potentially talking district scale surface mineable porphyries, of which there aren't many, if any, in the world that aren't being mined. So the reason this isn't being mined is because it's in dense Colombian jungle. And all the more easily accessible projects in Chile and other parts of the continent are already developed.
Gotcha. So, in terms of infrastructure, it's not as developed right now.
Certainly not. So this is heli-supported drilling.
Okay.
It's there's as the crow flies, we're quite close to major cities, the coast, roads, but we're in dense jungle.
Okay. And then the Montal project that's in Chile, is copper
Yes.
gold. And so, I guess it's close to, you said, Maimacup copper? Why is that significant, and what's the timeline and key milestones for this project?
So Mantau is a, when I say a pipeline project, Cobrasco and Pilquenes have been drilled, and they are our two shared flagship projects. Mantau is a pipeline opportunity, which is undrilled. The significance of Mantau, however, is that it's on the Chilean coastal belt in the district of Antofagasta, which is the world's largest producing district of copper. And we're immediately adjacent to Marimaca, which is a $1.4 billion Canadian listed issuer. And there's been a lot of interest in that stock and a material re-rate on account of their Pampa Medina sulfide discovery, which we are immediately adjacent to. So this is not only prospective for copper, there's also gold values from the surface sampling that we've taken earlier this year. So I think this is a very, very interesting option in the portfolio. I say option because it's not our focus, but I think it's going to be a good upside here for shareholders in the fullness of time.
If we can pivot and go to the share structure and team, if you can walk us through the share structure, who are the main insiders and institutions?
So we've got about 220 million shares on issue. I haven't checked the share price today, but at 50 cents, that's 110 Canadian market cap. The three largest disclosed shareholders are the chairman, Tony Manini, myself, and Bryce Roxburgh. Bryce is the former CEO of Rugby, who's now a director and remains a major shareholder of our company. In addition to that, our shareholders include Tom Woolrich from Deutsche Rohstoff, so specifically Deutsche Rohstoff, the fund, Bromma, which is the Lundin family's asset management arm, Dundee, which is a listed investment company here out of Canada, Ixios, a French-based mining specialist fund, and 1832 Capital, another mining specialist fund. So over the last year or so, one of our focuses has been on institutionalizing the register, and that's something that we've certainly made inroads in over the last 6 months.
If you can tell us about your team's experience and track record, what positions Andina for success here?
So my background was I started working. So my original vocation was law. I'd been fortunate enough to speak Spanish since a child, and I worked at what became Goldman Sachs in Australia and subsequently UBS before moving across to the dark arts of junior exploration in South America. So I've spent the last 13 years in South America, working for juniors. This is my first time working in Canadian public markets. Previously, it's always been Australia. So this was an area and a part of the world that I'm very, very familiar with. Colombia, for instance, I'm a Colombian citizen, and have a lot of experience there. Chile and Argentina, Ecuador, you name it. Tony Manini is our largest shareholder. He's our chairman. He's one of the principals of EMR Capital, which is a Australian-based mining private equity fund. They're not a conventional equity investor. They're a turnaround specialist. They take stakes in operations, introduce their expertise, and so on. He's been involved separate to EMR in a number of high-profile exploration and development stories. Oxiana was a big one in Australia. NexGen is another big name, well known in Canada, a uranium project. Bryce Roxburgh, the former rugby CEO that I mentioned before, he's been around for a while too. He has been involved in a couple of high-profile exits in Chile and Argentina, Exeter and Xtore, and many others over his journey. Paola is a non-executive director. She is a former Colombian diplomat who now works for governance for a large multinational oil and gas company. Two strategic advisors include Steve McIntosh, who was former head of exploration globally for Rio Tinto, was formerly on their executive committee. And we also have Dan Earle. Dan Earle is well known in Canadian public markets. He's part of Richard Wark's Augusta Group, the former CEO of Solaris, the current CEO of Highlander Silver. So that's our board management, sorry, board and advisory team. And then at a local level in Colombia and Argentina, we have significant teams that have been built up over years.
Joe, if you can give us a quick rundown on the TSXV migration, the timing, the value you expect it to unlock.
It's happened. It happened last
It's
week.
done. It
It's
just
done.
happened.
It happened.
Congratulations.
So yes, thank you. It took so on the subject of timing, we started the process in March and it happened last week. So it took much longer than it should have, but that's done now. One of the big reasons for doing that is we were previously on the CSE, and as an Australian and with a lot of Australian shareholders, it's very difficult to access the CSE from Australia, whereas TSXV is incrementally more easy. We also have a few funds out of Europe that suggested they struggled to invest in CSE. So the TSXV was just a natural progression for us.
So you mentioned a bit about your strategy moving to peripheral belts that's kind of already on its way and has been proven. How does that help in terms of strategy, to de-risk, and how do you view Andina's valuation today?
So if you look at the strategy to de-risk, there's a few aspects to exploration. One is geological risk, and the other is obviously jurisdictional risk. So I think with our projects, the geological risk from an exploration standpoint is significantly reduced because we had 2,000 meters in both Cabrasco and Pirquenes when we acquired them. In the case of Pirquenes, we've since drilled another 7,000 odd meters. So this is 9,000 meters of drilling, some of it quite deep, that shows you have a mineralized system with high-grade copper and gold. So the challenge for us now from a geological standpoint is to take these things forward to prove size and scale and ultimately move to, a resource. In the case of Colombia, we're drilling at the moment, so I think we'll find out early next year. With first results to the market just how successful our thesis has been in Cabrasco. But I think having two irons in the fire and being able to navigate jurisdictional and geological risk across the two projects is a very powerful tool. I think a lot of companies would like to have one of our projects, like our project, and we've got two. So I think it's validated by the share price performance. And the other question was, how do I view the valuation? Look, I think that one of the challenges with a junior is to getting to size and scale to be able to attract good long-term capital and evolve away from the hot money that a lot of juniors need to attract to get off the ground. So we're seeing that transition now. So we're seeing a big upgrade in our share register to big, well-known long-term mining investors. And I think what that means is that when we do publish results early next year, I would expect a meaningful re-rate. So I think given we're working across our two projects, I think next year will be very strong at a
Joe,
share
if you
price.
can, if you can tell us where you invest or where we can invest, where you're trading one more time, and your website,
Sure.
and how people can follow your news and follow your
Yeah.
story.
So andinacopper.com is our website. We're traded on the TSXV. Our ticker is ANDC. We also have a fairly active LinkedIn page and a mail a mail out sort of system, which
Newsletter.
you, and you, yes, well said, which you can subscribe to from our website. So our primary listing is the TSXV, ticker code ANDC, and plenty of social media forums and proprietary company forums to keep abreast of our developments.
Just disclaimer, disclosure for our listeners. Myself, I am not an investor of Andina. Although that may change, Andina and Joe have not paid for this interview. I am not giving investment advice. Please do your own due diligence. And one of the ways you can do that is to follow Joe's story, his website, and his socials. I will put the information, the links on the show notes. Everybody, please stay smart, stay curious, stay disciplined. Reach out to Joe if you've got any questions. Joe, thank you so much for your time and help.
Thanks for having me, and feel free, people, listeners or viewers should feel free to reach out to me directly, Joseph at andinacopper.com, if they do have any queries.
All right, thanks so much, Joe.
No, thanks again.